What is up, Finn fans? Welcome to another Dolphin Collective. Side note, your comments are hilarious. We were talking backstage and reading your comments, and they are funny. Really funny.
I have been late because I've been taking a poop once. Yes, that's correct.
Pooping and 3D's putting away his Malik poster. I forgot to take out the trash. They were good. Good comments.
Omar is on FaceTime with Tua. Yeah.
He
won't answer your call tomorrow, Omar.
He never answered my call. So I've never had a phone conversation with Tua Tagovailoa.
That's why you turned on him.
No. I didn't just turn on him. I was all
we appreciate
I always
you guys. Tough all question. Hanging out. Don't forget to check out the sponsor, Prize Picks. You play $5, you get 50 instantly with that promo code HMA. The link is in the description. We'll go over that later in the episode. As well as, don't forget to hit the subscribe button. If you want to listen to us on the audio, we are on Apple and Spotify and all that good stuff. So, first and foremost, I need to know what you guys saw with your own peepers. How was OTAs yesterday? We finally heard a little bit of Jacob Rodriguez forcing a fumble.
You saw the video too. It was on Dolphins posted it.
Yep. Got a turnover.
The Dolphins are giving you any kind of positive plays that you can get so that they can sell you some tickets. You know what I'm saying?
Although it wasn't positive for Terrace Marshall Jr.
I mean, they used to make sure that nobody got embarrassed when they showed you those positive.
Correct.
Plays. Now they're like, we don't give a damn.
Except on the pick, they showed a pick, the Ethan Bonner pick on Monday, which was not open to the media, and you don't see who the quarterback was.
I saw who it was.
Who was it?
Let me guess.
It was whoever running with the twos and the threes.
You know it's right. He ain't lying. they don't switch. He ain't lying.
I was looking at all jersey numbers. Oh, that's a three. Oh, that's a two. Yep.
He's not lying. Pumar's so, like, I don't say nothing.
What did you guys see yesterday? How was it?
Pumar?
I'm going to start. I'm going to make TD happy. TD, I got this prepared for you so you can wipe your tears of joy. I noted four throws from Malik that were like, that was a throws. Okay, Omar, I will go ahead.
It's Allen's turn. It's Allen's turn. Okay.
There's a little layered throw over the top of Ronnie Harrison Jr., who, by the way, is very good in coverage, right into the arms of the receiver. I can't remember who the receiver was. No, it was Malik Washington because it's always Malik Washington.
Oh, the big for 20-something, 26, 27 yards.
On the middle, and then later he had like an absolute rope. Again, good coverage, right sideline, right over the defender where only Malik Washington could catch it. And then he had two throws with guys in his face where he dropped the arm angle for completion.
Mm-hmm.
So that was
impressive. I saw one of those throws. Continue.
Okay. He also threw a pick six or an interception that may or may not have been a pick six.
Oh, that would have been a pick six.
Well, player stop. Anyway, that one, though, it looked like there was a mix-up in communication.
If we're talking about effort, why would people stop when people are running down a pick six if we're talking about players making effort all the time? Answer that question.
Okay. That's a fair
question. That was the clear-cut pick six to me.
Because sometimes they stop the play and sometimes they don't. Okay.
Pull the whistle, yeah.
They play picks.
Oh, hell no. Hell no. No, 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 no. They don't stop no play on interceptions. They don't stop plays on interceptions.
Okay. As I was saying before being rudely interrupted, is there any other way of being interrupted than rudely? Anyway, I digress. So that's what I was Malik Willis. Defense had a couple of plays. I saw some people saying the defense dominated. I don't know if I saw that. I did see Dante Trader Jr. again. A dude has looked really, really good in the spring. Malik Washington, like I said, has been a complete stud the entire all the practices that we've seen.
Stud or reliable?
That's all Malik would need.
open more often than not, catches everything thrown his way. There's never been any securely catching. It's not just.
Are you saying, in your words, Malik Washington has been a stud in OTAs?
Yes, he's been very good in OTAs. Yes. Again,
number two receiver.
If he's your number two receiver, your passing game is going to be limited.
So no, I'm just saying he's emerging as
he's
a
been
guy.
Reliable. He's been consistent. Yeah. I wouldn't put him ahead of Brandon Gibson.
Oh, wow. First of all, nice name, by the way. I mean, nice name. I wouldn't know how to be. And maybe the best throw of the day, as you saw this highlight from the Dolphins pointing to Tua Atwell down the sideline, making a high point catch. And by the way, yeah, nice catch. Throw was better. Because look at that window. I mean, holy smokes, there was no window.
Like Quinn Ewers.
Like Ewers, right?
Yeah, and that was probably his fifth good pass of the day. Just
see, that's the only one to me that was noteworthy.
No, he started out.
He had the best throw of the day, and Malik had the next four, as far as I'm concerned. Outside of that, Top again looked good. Outside of that,
Top again looked good again against who?
No, okay.
Top again going against who?
Well, Austin Jackson was sitting out.
Top going against who?
Yeah. You can reveal that if you want. So that's my initial thoughts. Go ahead, Omar.
Here's why I disagree with Poupard. I think the defense did have a dominant day. He had a pick six interception. Chop had maybe two sacks. Chop brought constant pressure against Keon Smith. I'm sorry. You remember what you saw at right guard from Keon Smith before he got benched? It's worse at right guard. So you figure out what you want to do with that. So if I want a proper evaluation about Chop Robinson, go ahead and move him over to the left side. Let me see what he do against Patrick Paul. Mm. And stop playing this game of boosting his confidence. Because you can sit up here and beat up on Keon Smith all you want, but when a real player is in front of you, let me see what you're going to do.
He's not wrong, by the way.
Jacob Rodriguez punched out the ball for a turnover. So we got two turnovers, probably about four picks. Jordan Brooks got a critical third down. No, was it? It was second down sack. That's to the point on against Malik Willis, to the point where they had to, it was in a situational play. They had to just dead the play, back them up 5 yards and start play over again. You never see that. You just never see that.
Yes, you do.
No, you don't. You always with other quarterbacks, they pretend like they let them scramble and play and throw the ball.
With Tua, they did that, but with other quarterbacks, yes, they have taken
names. Why you got called names? I protected the innocent.
I'm joking, even with Tua. But also, while you're completely lavishing the defense with praise, also remember there was not one single running play.
Okay, that's fair. Okay. But it was a situational period, and the offense got them into field goal territory maybe twice, but those are situations where you needed to score. And it was one third down play. I believe Malik Willis like threw the ball away or was under duress. And that's not what I want to see in a third down situation. But you know, it was one of the more dominant defensive performances that we've had since probably the first week of training camp. I'm not going to overhype it. I've seen growth from everybody involved except for Keon Smith.
Wow, dump on Keon Day.
Would you like to see another option there?
Yes, very much so.
Okay, thank you. Let's see, and that's the thing. I'm not going to sit here and tap dance around it. Like, Keon Smith is not good. And he's been here 4 years. At some point, we could stop this program here. This is an optional program. And if you can't find anybody better than Keon Smith, you in trouble. If Keon Smith is your eighth offensive lineman, you're going to suck.
Which offensive lineman was it that doesn't like Omar? Which one is it?
Okay. No, I'm good. I'm good with all the offensive linemen. Poupard to tell you, I've always been good with the offensive line. I'm always
trenches, good. Baby, trenches.
I'm always good. Linebackers, a little bit sketchy.
And right. one defensive tackle. We won't name names.
But one but lazy defensive tackle. So, and I consistently called out his laziness, which is what the problem was. And he eventually got cut by it because of his laziness. So I am, and when I called him out on radio, he wanted to fight me. The coaches congratulated me and thanked me for actually making him practice hard that day. So, and that includes the head coach. So I'm an innocent man.
One of the sad part about him is one of the biggest waste of talents.
It's not fair to consider him a waste of talents. He's going into double digit years of his NFL
career. I understand that, but he's been like a serviceable NFL player where he could have been, the dude could have been a.
And he didn't want to.
You're right.
But he made a lot of money. He made like $35 million. Like,
by the way, I do have one question of like, and I was talking about somebody else yesterday. It's like, why do the Dolphins keep bringing back Keon Smith? It's not like he had a long-term contract and there's money tied. They just keep bringing him back and bringing him back. And I'm sorry, why? What am I not seeing?
Because it's very hard to find versatile offensive linemen that could play all four positions, but can't necessarily play them well. And I used to think Keon Smith was a better tackle than he was a guard. And now I don't really, unless Chop Robinson's just absolutely just like.
No, because that was the same thing last year too.
I know. I'm not, I mean, we don't have pads on, so maybe Keon Smith is going to turn it up when the pads come on. Let's, you know.
Yeah, because.
But remember how many tackles we went through last year that kept getting hurt because. So keep him around, I guess.
Because yeah, there's an infatuation with Greer. I remember Greer bringing it up, being like, oh, if he didn't get hurt, you know, blah, blah, blah.
He told us he was fielding trade calls for him, and all of us were looking at each other. I'm sorry, what?
Like, if you got a seventh-round pick for Keon Smith, you should have taken it.
Like, is Austin Jackson playing week one?
Yes. Is he playing the exhibition season? Probably no.
No, I don't need him to.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate it. We're on the same team then.
You better practice, though.
Okay, I'll allow some practices, like 10 snaps a day. Are we good? We good on that? If we negotiate 10,
15.
No, I think you're pushing a little bit too much.
13, my final offer.
I'll go. I'll my final offer is 12, sir.
12 and a half snaps.
Oh man.
We don't need to see Keon. We don't need to see Austin Jackson. We just need him healthy. He'll get in shape during the season.
He needs to build that rapport with Jonah. If it ends up being Jonah.
Sure. Sure.
He does.
So that's gonna make Jonah better.
Oh, so Jonah hasn't played better?
Wow. With pads on. I can't tell.
But since this is the last day you're gonna see them until what? July 20 something. What is your final thoughts on the team so far?
You got to ask me more specific questions because final thoughts.
I can give you an answer.
Get out.
I think there's some potential there, but as it stands right now, it's a hold on, TD. It's a talent deficient roster. Sorry, hate to break
it. But it's some potential there, baby.
This is the
dollar. Yeah, but it's not. It ain't gonna happen overnight.
Yeah, dollar store Dolphins. You have some items there that can sustain you for the week, but you're not looking forward to any of the meals you could cook.
But you also still can eat.
Also no depth.
Yeah, it might kill you with a little sodium because you're probably gonna have a lot of ramen. You're gonna have a lot of ramen meals.
A lot of crap
dinner. A lot of ramen meals with beef jerky.
Hey, some, man, we some, surviving, man. We surviving.
Brand Pringles. I mean, you surviving. Like, you surviving. It's not going to taste good, but you could eat.
Hey, that blood pressure going up, up, up.
A little bit of bologna, some cheese, some cheese that don't mold. Like,
That never get old.
That dollar store bread. You make, fry some bologna sandwiches. Yeah.
Does it look like there are
baked beans and some weenies? I've been poor. Some spam sandwich.
Oh no,
fries.
Oh, you can fry spam real good now. Don't play like you can.
You gotta cut it thin.
You gotta cut it thin. You're right. You gotta cut it thin.
Oh man,
Doug's like,
Omar been in them trenches. Oh man, I know it.
Does it look like they are progressing, the team? Because obviously the defense is consistently, or has been consistently, you know, in a groove. Does it look like there's a progression with the team, or is it just, hey, they're still learning? It's OTA.
Yes,
they're still learning.
Mini
you can say the rest of the term, Alan, if you want. You could say
the rest. Did I what?
I said you can say the rest of the phrase that I said if you want, Alan. They're just learning. Shut up, Doug.
I would never say that.
I'll say this. I think that they can win 8-9 games if you get a lot of player development from the Kenneth Grants, from the Jordan Phillips, from the Dante Trader, from the Jonas Savanias, from the
Lonnie Johnson.
Who's Lonnie Johnson? Been
in the league 7 years. No.
Yeah, sure. Okay, if you say so.
He's not making plays.
And when I say player development, I'm talking about they got to do the Patrick Paul program. We go from struggle as a rookie to damn, he good.
Did he really struggle as a rookie?
They said he did. I didn't think he did.
Dude, he barely
killed him on film review, but I think he was up and down. Yeah. Inconsistent. Greg, don't say it. I was gonna get it.
It's a mess.
Instead of a C, think of an S. That's why I did it.
Dulcich. Okay.
I messed up with Jonah's name again before and I didn't say anything.
Jonah Savanaya?
No, Savainaya.
Savainaya. Okay.
Hey man, he got to earn an E.
The Greg Dulcich. Malik Washington's. Those guys have to take massive Patrick Paul leaps. Massive. You disagree?
Malik is Malik. He's gonna be.
I think he could be better. He could be better.
Exactly what you're gonna. No, I don't agree.
You're the one that said he's the best receiver out there right now.
Because he's very reliable, very solid, very dependable. But there's a very clear ceiling athletically that's not going away.
He can be a good route runner, flanker. He's not a slot to me because he can't make anybody miss. He can't. He don't got no wiggle to him. But I think he could be a solid flanker that can give you a good possession receiver in the Brian Hartline realm.
That's what he's been, though.
No, he's not. He's been a fake slot. He's been a fake slot. Come on.
My point is that he's been a solid receiver whenever he's been called upon, and that's what he's going to continue to be. If you force feed him, he's going to get a lot of receptions with a 7.8 yards per reception average. It's not going to be anything dynamic because, again, that's what his athletic profile is. But he is what he is, and he's a very good 3 or 4 wide receiver.
Can he be an 800-yard receiver?
Yes. I don't think he's any inferior of an athlete than Jarvis Landry. He just doesn't have Jarvis's toughness.
Or physical strength. That's part of it.
Ben Gregory has a very good question, and you know, me and TD will chime in as well, even though we didn't see it with our own eyes. He says, after OTAs, does y'all win-loss for a year change for better or worse? I personally see 3 to 4 wins, but with a lot of potential for a following year. It didn't change for me. Again, I'm only hearing, again, from what these gentlemen are saying and from what every other beat writer is saying. It didn't really change for me, mostly because, like Omar and Alan been saying, there's no pads on. So we really don't know. And then we also need to see joint practices. So for me, I still have them at the 5-6 win.
Here's why I say I can't do a win-loss total. While I know that it's a dollar store. This is a Dollar Tree Dolphins. It is. It's just that's
how merch made of that.
That's how you built the team. You have built the team shopping from the Dollar Tree. Now, I haven't seen Malik Willis run one time, not once. I have not seen the run game. Achan, your top player, has not been on the field.
Mm.
I have not seen them in pads to see whether or not they can set the edge. If you can't set the edge, trust me, you're below four. Yeah, you're below four wins because you're not going to do anything on defense if you can't set the edge. Malik doesn't have chemistry with his weaponry. We can't evaluate the offensive line because of no pads. We really aren't going to be evaluating the offensive line until like the exhibition season, if that, because I don't even think Austin Clark is going to be playing in exhibition season, or I wouldn't play him.
Austin Jackson.
Secondary. Are we properly evaluating the secondary, or are they covering whack receivers? Your guess is as good as mine. Like,
Tom, also, like you said, there's the disconnect between the receivers and the quarterback right now.
But I think every NFL team should win 4 games, even unless you're tanking. So 4.5 is a great line for them. I put them at 5 if they get good coaching, if they get lucky from a health standpoint. But if this team is watered down from a health standpoint, oh, we talking about 4 and less, because they don't have starters. How are they going to have backups?
My Reader's Digest answer to your question, Doug, is until I see them hold their own or better in the joint practices, my thought is still it's a talent deficient roster, and Halfley better coach the hell out of his butt to squeeze wins out of that team.
TD.
Or Malik Willis needs to be Ryan Fitzpatrick.
That's right. Better. He
needs to be better.
I have him at 10. And here's why. I feel like this team is the team where you walk up to somebody and you be like, wow, I love that. Did you get it at Neiman's? He's like, no, I got it at the dollar store. You a lie. You are lying. You got that at the man. That was from Neiman's. Come on, man. That's what I think is gonna happen. Cause when you see Malik Willis in action and he start bringing that mobility, you're gonna be like, whoa, this impacts game. This actually wins games. This changes everything. And that's why I'm high. I'm Malik Willis is why I'm high. One guy, because if it was Josh Allen on this team, we'd all be talking double digits with this roster. So I just believe that
he's not even sure. I'm not even sure. I don't think we would actually.
No, I'd probably put him at like 7-8.
Bum teams. Josh Allen has some bum teams and still won double.
He has had some bum receiving units, but he has not had some bum teams. And he's had good coaching.
He's had some suspect defenses too.
He has. And he's had some good defenses.
Yeah. But don't worry. 10. Get ready for you. Heard it here first.
I hope you're right.
Need to be accountable when it doesn't reach 10.
Yeah, and you can be accountable when it does.
Okay, absolutely.
That's right.
Oh, right.
I would put the percentage
of what point in the season winning would we 10 know games. That you're not making 10.
I'd say TD, I put it at 15%. They get the 10 wins. And I hope you're right. And I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah, I put it at 51%.
And what week would we know that, all right, they ain't making 10 wins?
I think you'll know by week 8.
They're not making 10 wins.
I think you'll know by week 8.
Week 8?
Yeah.
All right, midseason.
If we 500 or below by week 8, we're not making 10. All
right. Yeah, mentally.
Yeah.
Oh, I episode of week 8.
Start out like 6-2, something like that. Yeah.
Admire the optimism, though, I have to say. Omar, you got some breaking news you're looking at?
No.
Okay.
He's getting pictures.
Two highlights.
I'm going to take the next two topics. I'm going to kind of mash them together. Talk about getting deals done and also talking about this dead cap. $179.2 million in dead cap. Ay caramba. We've been talking about it a lot this offseason about Brooks. I was going to say Baker for some reason. Brooks and Brewer, the BBs, and, you know, who's next, who's going to get signed, who's not going to get signed. We've dropped hints. We've talked about do they deserve the money, all that stuff. But this is the time that it's probably gonna or not gonna get done when they are gone before training camp. You disagree?
No, you get it done before the start of regular season.
That's usually the time when it gets done.
See, I would think
or another cutoff point is if I'm Jordan Brooks and I'm Aaron Brewer, I'm not playing in an exhibition game without my money.
So like before preseason.
Yes, preseason. You can count me out. I'm not participating. And they could do that.
Now, so we'll get more into that.
I'll practice, but I'm don't. Or they could pull a Christian Wilkins, which is I'll be here and I'll train. You have up until this point.
Sit-in. Was he the first sit-in?
Or
no, Xavier Howard was.
Xavier Howard. Or I'll do individual, but forget about me in team drills.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Or they can do the Christian Wilkins and I'll give you 2 weeks. Christian took first two snaps of joint practice and then was like, all right, I'm done.
Yeah. Was he, because I remember when I think it was Christian Wilkins where he was in there for a few plays and the defensive line was playing really well. And then he was like, I'm done. And then all of a sudden it like the defensive line production.
No, dropped. It was in that was a Falcons joint practice. I remember. And Christian, you know, the practice where, oh man, that Washington practice against Daniels, his yeah. rookie season. Mm. Woo! That was a spanking. and we were like, who is this kid? I don't remember that practice being. I remember there was a practice that Jalen Ramsey like took over. That might have been the second year he was here, and he was just like, "We not getting punked by these dudes. Like y'all better get y'all act together." And then they fought on the field, and then they took it inside to the bubble. Yeah, I think that was the Falcons.
And then he had a hamstring injury that was so concerning that he might miss the start of the regular season. Unless
Yeah. And I also remember the joint practice. And that's funny because we mentioned joint practice and Halfley basically said, I'm not doing two joint
practices. I like his quote on that. We'll talk about that after.
It's soft, though.
But it's not wrong.
It's soft, though.
If for people who don't know.
Want to see how your team responds or you need to, or you.
Or like, double up.
You're not getting as much optimal evaluation time. And I get it because there's not much that we're evaluating.
Mm-hmm.
This ain't much to evaluate. But you're leaving two on the table, two practices on the table, correct?
Yes.
Yep. Okay. Now I understand Dan Campbell probably is not doing any more joint practices or something like that. He doesn't see the.
And Mike Vrabel, I believe, is the other one who said he doesn't want to do two and against one team anymore. Also, because the second day always tempers.
Yeah. I mean, but it's I want to see how they emotionally respond.
Mm.
Okay, but how about the other point that Jeff Halfley made, which was that the number of practice reps they get is borderline equivalent to a preseason game.
Hold on,
and you're going to ask him to do that back-to-back days?
Yes, I am. Because I'm going to make the first day, if this is my first exhibition season, I'm going to make the first day the time when I get a good look at my starters. They get 50 snaps. Then the second day, I'm going to get a good look at the backups. They get 50 snaps. And my starters get, 10? And then I go to the third unit. Don't act like there aren't three units. We're playing the third unit in the exhibition season number one anyway. So why would I not go 15-15 and then third unit finish out the game? Like I it just comes off a little, and I get it, it's smart, but the thing about rookie coaches is they don't know what they don't know. And when we're gonna look at it in August, we're gonna say, damn, we don't have enough evaluation time of these guys because all I've got is film of them practicing against each other where they know each other's plays. We get the best evaluation when they don't know what's coming. Half the time we're in week two of training camp and the defense will know what the offensive plays are.
Yeah.
Is that, am I lying, Papar?
To the point where they know what they have. Right now they could probably tell you
what's coming.
45 of the 53 players on the roster. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh, you're talking about talent-wise?
Talent-wise.
I'm talking about the defense will know the offensive plays that are coming. Or the offense will know what coverage.
My point, I am reacting to your point about is they need the joint practices and the extra work to make their evaluations to pick the 53. And I'm telling you, I don't think they don't need it because, first of all, joint practices didn't exist, what, 15 years ago, whatever it was? And teams were
No, don't do that because they were joint practices before I even got on the beat. I remember you, Nick Saban had a joint practice or somebody that y'all went somewhere did them. Yeah,
no, I don't
Dave Wannstedt maybe.
It wasn't a regular practice the way it is now. The one point I will agree with you is I don't know why you wouldn't do a joint practice with Atlanta to at least do 1-1-1.
You know why they won't do a joint practice.
We all know why.
Well, they're protecting now, even that he's gone out to another team.
I want to know who said no to that. Because I don't know if it was it was Miami that said no.
Man,
but
you don't want that.
To people who don't know the quote, essentially, Halfley said that he doesn't want to do back-to-back joint practice, essentially, too. Because, you know, say we get punked the first day, players are going to come out the second day and go harder and try to, you know, but then that also can lead to injuries. And that's where he's like, I don't want them to overexert.
Football can lead to injuries.
Yeah, but it's smart in my mind, especially because this is a young team that's still.
Young team that's proven nothing.
Yeah. But like you said, Omar, you had a very good point where you said, you know, rookie coaches don't know what they don't know. Maybe next year, all of a sudden, we do two joint practices because, like you said, he might realize, you know what? I need that second day to see what we got.
I understand every single word he said, and he made some very valid points, and I get it. I absolutely get it. But you're thinking you're going to have enough time to evaluate what you have there. I promise you, you're going to be down two cornerbacks by the time you get to joint practice number two. You're going to sign a Jack Jones and a Rasul Douglas, and you're going to need to see whether or not they can play, or a Mike Hilton, and you're going to need to see whether or not they can play, and you don't have enough runway left, and you don't have enough runway because you decided that you didn't want to do two joint practices that you left on the table.
I thought he should have made it conditional and tentative. And what I mean by that is, hey, guys, you only get one opportunity on Sunday. Win the first day. And if you don't, then we'll evaluate it from there to see if we're going to go to second day. But if you go out there and you win the first day, ain't no need for a second day for the first unit. Go win the first day.
Flying out of there early just in case they're going to have a second practice. Seriously?
I'm talking about playing time. You still, the second one, you have the, like Omar said, the number twos and threes taking primary majority of the snaps. But first unit, y'all need to win the first day.
They're not sitting out, guys, at practice. That's the other part of it, too, is that you got like four different drills going on all over the place among the two fields when you have a joint practice. Nobody's sitting out. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I will say this, and there is an elevated number of snaps in joint practice. There absolutely is. You're talking about 100 snaps as opposed to a regular practice, which might give you 60. 120 snaps opposed to regular practice might give you 60. There are challenges that come with it, but from my standpoint, joint practices are far more greater tools for evaluation than exhibition season games. Mm-hmm. And because you're guarded, it's in a safer environment. Yes, you're not going to see tackling to the ground, but you see guys in situational periods, and it's not their first time. I remember the Chicago joint practice, and you get to learn things. I remember the Chicago joint practices. It was Tua's year with Flores, and Flores was upset at something. I never knew what it was, but Shocker. That was the first time I saw him abuse Tua. Like literally abused Tua. Like, and I got to see how Tua mentally responded to that. Now he went in the crapper, but that was a very telling moment for me. And then last year against Detroit, they had two practices. No, against Chicago. They had two practices against Chicago, right?
Well, they had one.
Okay. The one practice against Chicago, we saw it. The Chicago defense, they were absolutely brutal and beat up the Miami offense. And Miami offense needed that. I can tell you, I watched all the training camp and never saw no receiver face press coverage when the Dolphins were practicing against themselves. All of a sudden, Chicago Bears are like, we jamming you at the line of scrimmage and beating you in the face. And the Dolphins receiver was like, what is this? They could touch me? And I was like, y'all don't realize that you got to face. And it dawned on me, hey, these guys got to practice against press. Mm. Now, just because you don't do it, that doesn't mean that they don't have to practice against it.
Mm-hmm. And we never got good against it.
And Halfley's point about tempers flaring up the second day, possibly, I would have been very curious to see the Dolphins' response to a second joint practice against the Bears last year.
Yeah. We had a fight on day one. We had a Royal Rumble fight on day one.
Well, so. We also had between teammates with Brooks and Dotson they're getting it in each other's face on the field.
Don't poo-poo it.
Yeah, don't poo-poo it. Filtering. No. It's just brotherly love. I mean,
it was a little brotherly love. I mean, they punched each other, but it was a little brotherly love. Like, I mean, I punch you sometimes. You punch me. Like,
sure. We'll go with that.
Let's get into some prize picks real quick.
I keep trying to tell him, man, go with the stars. I hit again. All right. Listen, man, Jalen Brunson. Victor, these boys they're the stars of the team, man. They got to put the game on their back. That's why I keep telling y'all, man, this is, if at least for me, it's the safe one. And I'm going to come back with the same thing again. I'm going with Jalen Brunson and Victor Wembanyama.
Wembanyama.
It's crazy. Yeah, it's crazy.
Funny I can say that name. I can't say Greg Dulcich.
Yeah.
How about Jonah?
Jonas Savanaya. But yeah, man, I $20 wins 60. I'm just playing it safe, having some fun, man. These have been some exciting finals. And hey, man, game four is all important. I told y'all game three, man, whoever wins that got a good chance to win the series. And now it's actually, you know, tight. New York does not want to drop this next one. So get in on Prize Picks. Don't forget to use code HMA. If you play $5, you're going to get $50 instantly in lineups. Available in so many different states. Go on, click the link in the description to see if your state applies and get in the action. Supporting our sponsors is supporting the channel. And I want to always remind you, make sure you play responsibly. If you don't feel you can, there are resources on the site that can help you with that.
You think just real quick, being that we talk about basketball when we go to Prize Picks, you think the refs are going to call a little bit better in the next game?
I thought they called it perfect in the last game. This is the Jordan era. This is, hey, let them play. You can be all physical and everything all you want. Let them play.
Then do it on both sides, man. That was a one-sided.
I mean, everybody out there hacking. Everybody out there being.
I don't agree with you, Doug. I didn't think that was a one-sided game. I just thought the refs did a bad job of getting the game under control.
Knicks fan up there.
Okay.
Not even denying it. Oh, the Knicks were robbed.
Who, me?
Oh, man.
Yeah, you.
I don't watch basketball.
then why you say it was one-sided?
Because I saw what happened to Jalen Brunson. The man got ran through and thrown to the ground.
You saw that one clip. And the
it happens. Yeah. It happens.
I don't know. Like I said, I haven't watched basketball since Jordan was on the Bulls. That's the last time I watched basketball.
Well, you should be used to it. That's what LeBron they did, baby.
Come on, you watch LeBron era. Come on,
play.
Like that's, I said, when they were in the finals, I watched a little.
Everything is a foul in LeBron here.
How about this? I haven't watched basketball since I've played basketball. That was just a long time ago. I got forced into it because I'm tall. I was a football guy, not a basketball guy. So the rookies got a lot of stuff they got to do in a short period of time because we got a lot of rookies.
Coupard just discovered that the rookies are going to be held here for one extra week.
Which we did not know that. So it's only going to be one extra week.
I didn't know that rookies could be held here longer.
Yeah. This is why we have Allen.
It's not new.
You can coach all the rookies once again.
Yeah, we said that already. They could have been there. It's May 16th.
Fake news. Fake news.
Oh, man.
How many rookies y'all really think going to play, like, significant roles?
Can we discuss
significant?
Yeah. We discussed that last week. But, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Like, what? Eight?
That's huge.
You got you don't have 15. So can you coach all of them?
As long as those eight playing their significant role.
Significant.
I didn't say they was gonna play good. They could play a Jonas Savanai. Savvy, say it.
Savainaya.
Savai.
There you go. You gotta get the whoop. Out of the 13 that they drafted, was it 13 or 11?
It's 13.
I could see like
in your DFAs.
Like significant time, I could see like five or six.
Yeah. So can you coach all the rookies?
Yes.
All we need to do is coach them five or six.
But here's the thing. The reason I say that is because I look at the other rookies and I'm like, is there someone better in front of them?
What other rookies?
Like Kyle Lewis.
Is there? He's the big nickel. He should be a starter at big nickel. I can't even name you anybody else who would play big nickel. Maybe Ronnie Harrison Jr.?
Like Sadu Traore, DJ Campbell, Max Llewellyn.
DJ Campbell. Anybody else better than him at guard?
Jonas Savainaya. Not Savainaya.
I'm talking about backups.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying.
And you have no proof that Jonas is better than DJ.
But that's what I'm saying. Playing significant time is what you said. So I'm like,
Yeah. Significant time or significant role. Active on game day.
You might only have four. I mean, Caden Proctor, Chris Johnson.
I mean, but if you could coach them all, why would they not contribute?
Because it's about like Jacob Rodriguez. I don't know how many games he's going to start. He'll play.
They're trading Brooks, bro.
They're not trading Brooks. Stop.
No. They're going to trade this man in training camp.
They are not trading Jordan Brooks. Stop.
I'll be surprised.
You're that sure, Amar?
I'm absolutely positive.
Again, why is the contract not gotten done so far? I understand it's because
he's not taking 70 cents on the dollar. That's why.
Correct. But if the Dolphins, you think at some point the Dolphins are not going to decide, oh, we need Jordan Brooks on the roster in 2026, or we're not going to have a successful season. He's not making a difference.
He's not ready. You need him from a leadership standpoint. And no matter if I lose him now or later, I'm going to get a compensatory pick for him. So I can't.
And I'll explain to you why you're not going to get a compensatory pick for him.
Tell me why.
What? Go to your room. No dessert for you. What the hell is that?
Oh, my parents are fighting.
The face your son would make when he's heard it all before from his dad.
I hope Mila doesn't give you those
faces. She's absolutely starting. Yeah.
Okay. The Dolphins are going to have, right now, they have, what is it, $105 million of cap space. Okay. They're going to go free agent shopping next offseason.
Maybe.
Yeah.
More than likely. They're not going to lose.
Green Bay way. They said they shop when there's a player that is worth the investment.
No, they shop big, but they still have shopped. Okay. And the Dolphins, how many exactly free agents are the Dolphins going to have that are going to get big contracts on the open market next offseason to qualify as a compensatory free agent? So even if that happens with Brooks, more than likely they're going to sign more than they're going to lose.
Fair.
Thank you.
Brooks gone, bro.
Not gone. Need him for leadership.
Haven't touched his contract.
Do you need him?
I don't have to touch his contract.
Yes, you.
No, I don't.
But you could to get yourself.
I could. I don't have to. Correct. And if and he doesn't have to accept what you're offering him.
Correct.
He could ban on himself like Christian Wilkins did, and go into the year and say, "I'm playing out this contract." And I'm becoming unrestricted free agent.
And like Connor Williams did.
They're going to get that third round pick, bro. They're going to get that third.
They're not going to get a third. I promise you they're not going to get a third. Dallas wasn't offering a third before the draft. They're not going to offer one now.
So to piggyback off of what Alan said, this is a quote from John Eric Sullivan, who said, and I quote, "That's why you bring him in on a three-year deal," talking about Malik. I'll get to my point. "And a three-year deal was very important to us. It's going to give us the opportunity to put multiple draft classes around him in 2027, 2028, and make some noise in free agency."
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know if they're going to do the Green Bay way, where, again, Green Bay doesn't spend any money in free agency. But I don't know. Do you see Brooks getting that big of a contract that the Dolphins won't kind of counteract it?
It don't matter if they counteract. If you let him hit the free agent market, you could kiss him goodbye because he ain't coming back.
But I'm talking about the comp pick.
They're not going to get a comp pick again because the totality of their free agents is going to, they're going to sign more than they're going to lose.
If they sign, which they might just sign a whole another year of minimum salary guys.
Oh, no, and we bad. We got money in our pocket.
I think they'll make like two or three.
No, that's not their way. There's not, that's not their way of building an organization. Their way of building an organization is draft and develop.
Then that would go directly against what the quote that Doug just read.
I think they'll make two or three big splashes, and I think those splashes
They'll go get a receiver. Mm-hmm. They'll go get Malik a receiver because he didn't have as good a year as he could because he didn't have a receiver.
Oh, no, he didn't need it.
I heard that before, 2020 and 2021.
Yeah, I heard it before also in 2014 and then 2009. So
were they using that for Tannehill as an excuse?
Yeah.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Who are receivers?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't remember that.
He always had at least one high flyer.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, they used that.
Remember when they went out and got Mike Wallace?
Mm-hmm.
Correct. And then they got Brandon Marshall. They got Mike Wallace.
No, they got Brandon Marshall for Chad Henne. And they went out and they got Mike Wallace for Tannehill. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's always the same excuse.
Kenny Stills.
Then they trade when they dump Mike Wallace, they got Kenny Stills.
Jarvis Landry.
Jarvis Landry was a draft pick, so he was developed.
Well, yeah.
That was a shocker.
And then they traded him away because they didn't want to pay him, which I thought was ridiculous.
Couldn't pay him what he wanted for a slot receiver. Sorry.
Sorry. He was still a Pro Bowl player as a slot receiver for Cleveland. Sure.
And
you gave up a Pro Bowl player, though. You did.
He's threatened him, and then he sent him to Cleveland. We all know what really happened.
Yes, he got more than they should have gotten. As much as you do, Omar.
Everybody got more than they should have got.
Last show, we were questioning, you know, whether or not certain guys were actually leaders. So what's our thoughts on what Jeff Hafley said when he started naming some of them? Like Malik Willis, the ultimate leader and all of that.
That's bullcrap. He's seeing him lead, and he's seeing him have guys over the house, and you know.
But he doesn't want him being a leader. Remember that?
No, man. Yeah. Three weeks ago, he didn't want
him. Don't worry about being a captain.
And it's still bleeding out. And it's just still bleeding out.
I mean, he didn't mention that one, TD.
I'm with you on that one.
He didn't even mention Devon Achane, which is one of the bigger leaders on the team.
Is he not?
He absolutely is. He was last year as well.
In what way?
No.
An emotional leader. He checks guys. He goes up and he holds people accountable. He checks guys, offense and defense. Him and Waddle used to do it all the time at practice. So don't sit here and say he's not a leader. And he's learned from Armstead. That whole year he sat next to Armstead, he learned how to be a leader from Armstead. Now, will he be an in-your-face leader? We don't know. But did we expect Jordan Brooks to be an in-your-face leader? No, but he did.
Did he?
He did. Yeah. Jordan Brooks
Chicago.
That's not his personality. Sorry. That also wasn't Waddle's personality.
It's not his personality, but it evolved into his personality. He evolved into an alpha. He did. Okay. It's not his personality, but he did. Every leader in that leadership committee, I wrote a story on it, basically said, he was quiet last year. This is his team now, and he told them what to do in the leadership.
Brooks, yes. But you talk an HN, which to me, I'm like, no.
It can happen. If it happens for Brooks, it can happen for HN. They have HN has more in-your-face personality. Brooks is quiet.
So HN was checking people who wasn't delivering? HN been checking
people, yeah.
Did he check two of them?
I don't know about all that.
Wow. That's above his pay grade.
A real leader ain't no pay grade.
HN's going to be a captain.
What'd you say?
Is HN going to be a team captain?
Absolutely, HN's going to be a team captain.
Okay.
Well, was he last year?
No.
It's HN, Brewer, Patrick Paul's going to be a captain as well. Then Malik Willis is going to be a captain. Then you're going to have Sealer. Brooks. Dodson.
And how many we gonna have?
It's like a 10 or 12.
They had six last year. They had eight 2 years ago. They had six.
I'm talking about the leadership council.
Oh, and I'm talking about captains. Last year they had six. It wouldn't surprise me if
it was a fly.
It wouldn't surprise me if it was six again this year.
You care about captaincy? I remember the year that Chad Pennington wasn't a captain, and then was it Tony Sperano who basically was like, as a backup, he was like, everybody kept going to Chad Pennington.
Yeah.
And Tony Sperano was like, damn, let me just give him, let's just make him a captain. And it's, you know,
and the coaches make the final decision, right?
Wasn't it one year that Fitzpatrick wasn't a captain too? Yeah,
2020 probably.
2020?
Yeah.
Yeah. Fitzpatrick wasn't a captain, and it was like, why the heck isn't he a captain?
Because he's not going to be a starter. They're biding their time until they replace him.
I always felt like Flores rigged the captaincy and fixed it. Yeah. I think.
Oh, no, he was a captain. Sorry, he was a captain in 2020.
Yeah, I think Mike rigged the captaincy too.
Fitzpatrick. Oh, yeah, we know that. We know that.
Shut your mouth. Shut your mouth.
Anyway, Mike. Let's get to these donations. We're going to start off with someone that we all should know his name.
Lino.
Man, we gonna block.
Can't you. Stop laughing. 10 wins, bro. You're a great comedian. You're on your way. The next Cedric the Entertainer. Oh, and to answer Omar, your DB covering whack receivers.
Boy, Lino nervous. I'm telling y'all now, this is the resident Buffalo Bills.
We're giving the channel a lot of money. We appreciate it from the Bills.
Lino, right. We're going to see when Josh Allen got the secondary in front of him, we're going to see how good they are.
Mm-hmm. Then tell us why Josh Allen had problems with him last year.
Because
it wasn't the same secondary.
Yeah.
Oh, it wasn't much better.
Sure.
Who was in the secondary last year?
Rasul Douglas.
Yeah, we got Chris Johnson.
Minkah Fitzpatrick.
Juju Brick, maybe.
When is Rasul going to sign soon? Before training camp?
Right before training camp.
3 weeks before training camp ends.
Yep.
Like, y'all ain't going to pay me what I want. I'm not sit up and play, pretend like I'm working. Yeah, he did say he regretted not signing late because he had to work his way into shape. And he didn't want to do it again, but like I think it's a disservice what's happening to him. But obviously, his personality is scared off teams, and Rasul Douglas does have a strong personality. So, you know,
did he play with Halfley?
Yes, he did, and I'm sure that's part of the reason why he. No, I don't think he did. I don't think he did.
No.
No, right. Yeah, I think that was before Halfley's time.
Yeah, before, but the linebacker coach was here.
Dugan.
Joe Bell.
Oh.
Joe Barry.
Joe Barry.
Joe Barry. About Douglas, too.
I like Rasul. Rasul's a good player. I could understand why his personality might be problematic to coach, but I'm not scared of people with problematic personalities. Obviously.
Probably because you can relate.
Anyway. Ian said, why do you
need talent players, is talent, my man.
For leadership this year? They know they are not expected to make the playoffs. This year is more about letting players grow. You still got
a building a foundation.
Yeah, you still need leaders.
And they know they're gonna be better than everybody thinks. They know it deep down.
I do. I think they'll be better than 4.5.
They do.
He also adds, so when did Waddle and Achan check Tua last year about his awful play? Because I didn't see it.
You don't see it privately, but when Waddle said to me, we know what the problem is. The problem was removed.
He said that to you. At the end
of the Pittsburgh game.
He said that to you.
He said behind the scenes.
He said that on the record?
Yeah.
We know what the problem was, and the problem was removed.
We know what the problem is, and he just wouldn't say. And the next day, the problem was removed.
Okay, you're the one suggesting that's what he meant.
I knew what he was referring.
Oh, no, that's what he meant.
I knew exactly what he was referring to. He just was not saying.
He wasn't the only receiver who said it,
huh?
He wasn't the only receiver who said it.
You know Waddle's part. He just broke out laughing, and he was just like. He's like, what you want me to say? Like, And the next day, the problem was removed.
Anywho.
Because the arm fell off.
And you know it's
all. Get me to Denver.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Thanks, like, everyone, for
his reveal.
thanks everyone for hanging out. Go check out Omar Kelly on the Miami Herald, Alan Poupart, Miami Dolphins on SI, TD Fins Talk, youtube.com/TD Fins Talk, myself, youtube.com/WDoWrong. We will see you guys Friday. We won't really recap OTAs because you guys won't be. Do you guys hear about the OTAs when you're not there, or is it only when you're there?
You don't hear
any rumblings or anything?
EJ.
We'll find something to talk about. We're going to twice a week.
They'll drop a few videos
for a month. We got a new format happening. We're gonna have some pre-records. It's gonna be fun. We'll keep you guys entertained for the next 6 weeks of nothing. What are we gonna talk about? I don't know. We'll talk about something.
Talk about football.
Yeah. We'll talk about movies, music, whatever you guys want to talk about.
I don't want to talk about Omar's music, please.
We'll see you guys on Friday. We out.